Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, welcome to another episode of Hashtag I Am Riviera Beach. Hashtag Riviera Beach Pride. Hi, my name is Ann McNeil, and I am the master builder helping to build stronger and better lives and businesses. And I'm excited to be here with my co-host Dan Calloway as we interview Henry Taylor, our former City of Riviera Beach Council member. I am still thoroughly convinced after reading the book Acres of Diamonds by Russell Conwell. I am still convinced that we are all leaving the diamond mine in our own backyards as we travel around the world looking for larger diamonds, when in fact the diamonds we seek are found within us in our hometown from whence we've come. Therefore, we're calling this podcast Hashtag I Am Riviera Beach. Today's special guest is none other than Henry Taylor. Mr. Taylor has energized this, actually, I want to call it energized this city with his thirst for knowledge. He was the only member of his family to graduate from high school and continue on to graduate from higher education. After high school, he obtained his Associate of Arts degree from Roosevelt Junior College. Mr. Taylor then worked as a carpenter for various building contractors before becoming the first African-American building inspector for the city of West Palm Beach, Palm Beach County, and the state of Florida, one of many firsts for him. He was also a member of the Pride of Palm Beach Masonic Lodge, PHA, where he had the honor of becoming the first African-American to be elevated to the 33rd degree Mason in Palm Beach County. And he is currently a member of the Masood Temple of the Ancient Egyptian Arabic Order Nobles of the Mystic Shrine, PHA, along with other various recognitions, accomplishments, and achievements and honors. During his time at the city of West Palm Beach, Mr. Taylor found an interest in politics and became the first Riviera Beach native to be elected to the Riviera Beach City Council, where he served for over 8 years. It is my pleasure to introduce all of you to Mr. Taylor and welcome back my co-host, Dan Calloway. Good afternoon, Mr. Calloway. And also thank you, Deja Harmon, for helping us make this possible. Mr. Calloway, welcome.
Thank you very much, and good afternoon, everybody else. And once again, this is a pleasure, especially today, because our guest, Henry A. Taylor, I may call him Arthur for that A, may be my longest living, and there's no doubt, my longest living friend, because yesterday I was in the service of Jimmy Roundtree, and everybody knew about the Roundtrees, and he was older, and he was one of my longest living friends because all my life I knew him. Henry Arthur Taylor, my friend for life, how are you doing?
I'm doing great, Dan.
Well, are you ready to talk about the 100-year anniversary, number one, and then politics, number two, and then why you love Riviera so much and still involved with so many things? Let's get together about the 100-year. Five years ago, you were on the committee, you and I and some others at Mount Auburn Missionary Baptist Church, for the 95th. And, of course, June 11th, it'll be our 100th year there. And you're on the committee with me to put that together again. Now, here we are with all these different activities. Let me stay in the field that I want you to be an expert in, is in the political field. What does it mean to you to know that you were the first elected homegrown official in Riviera?
It gives me great pleasure to really remember that that is the situation. I love Riviera Beach, and I have worked hard in Riviera Beach ever since I was on that council, and even before I was on the council. Riviera Beach was just a little fishing village back in the day, and we didn't have very much. The streets weren't paved, most of them, and we had to be transported from Riviera Beach to all over the county almost, sending students to school because we didn't have a school in Riviera Beach for blacks, people of color. And the way that I've seen the city grow since that time has been astronomical. And I'm always proud to talk about Riviera Beach. I know that the news media usually puts us down. They talk about all of the crime in Riviera Beach. That's all they talk about. When things good happen in Riviera Beach, you don't hear that much about it. But you have just as much crime everywhere else as you have in Riviera Beach. And I think that it's kind of sad that they always talk about the crime in Riviera Beach and not the good things about Riviera Beach.
Well, if that's one of the things that we must do to elevate that and show all the good things, because of Sunday coming, we're going to have the veterans, not veterans, but it's a lot of veterans going to be there. When we have special days, like we're going to be at Reverend Adams Church Government Day, when you're going to have my friend David Ehrenberg, who texted in yesterday, he's going to be there. I'll have himself greeting words from the state's attorney office and, of course, the city mayor of West Palm Beach, Keith James, my friend, he's going to be there. And most of all, I'm going to have the brain thrust of this program, Miss Ann McNeil. She'll be there. So if nobody else be there but you and those three, then we're going well. We'll be doing well. Of course, your city manager is the guest speaker, Mr. Jonathan Evans. I need you to explain what it was like when Malcolm Cunningham Sr. in 67, we worked hard to get him as the first black council person. And because of the riot in 1972, the year our co-host Ann McNeil graduated from school from Suncoast, it was a riot. And if you remember, Henry, the riot, and we were with the plaza on Blue Heron. And the sheriff, Heitman, had his, all the people out there with the weapons and the tear gas ready to shoot on them after the Riviera Beach police had shot the tear gas on Suncoast. And that was the impetus for us to change the face of Riviera, and it really changed the face of the whole South. Now, you were right there. And being one of the people to be elected with Bob Moultrie, Bobby Brooks, and James Jones, and you became the four black councilmen for Dave Williams. Explain that to the public, what it was like going from in the minority to the majority overnight in the 3 months it took us to put all that stuff together.
Well, it was a little bit hectic in the beginning, but as soon as we were able to get control of the city of Riviera Beach as far as going to the majority to the minority, we were able to put things in place that kept the total community. And the city council at that time had the authority to do all of the appointments for the city personnel, as far as the department heads were concerned, and a lot of people of color got those top jobs, and the city ran well. We had a community in Riviera Beach that was A-rated. It was an A-rated bonding system for the city of Riviera Beach at that time. I don't know exactly what it is now, but it gave the people of Riviera Beach that were residents of Riviera Beach an opportunity for jobs and everything like that. We did not go out over the whole country bringing people in. We knew that we had people here that went to school here, graduated from college, that had the knowledge of knowing how to run a city or take care of the things that we had to do within the city of Riviera Beach. And we wanted the people of Riviera Beach to be able to have those type of jobs. We just looked out for people in Riviera Beach. And it was just like a new coming Christmas, like you're giving out gifts. The change was made during that time.
Henry, one of the things that was important, you got to remember that under the leadership of the late Herman McCray, who took the helm of putting the machine together, and all of us was right there in the middle of everything. And when you said that it was important, you appointed the first, under your supervision, there was a lot of firsts. Now, you got to remember, Boone Dodd was the first black police chief in the South, not only because he was the first in Riviera. You appointed Boone Dodd. There were no black police chief in the whole South of the United States. And from that point on, you had department heads, and you end up with 11 of them with black, first black recreation director, what was Newbold, the building inspector, and
Bill
Herman, and all those people like that. Now, being part of the history, and that will be told because we're celebrating the 100th year, and being the coordinator of that, I know that will be a time that I have to have that told because that is our history. I need to ask you personally, because not only you were the building inspector for the county and everything, what about the growth? What about the growth of it? Are you pleased with it, with a lot of our black business people are not getting the first shot at the job? Because you said something about that back there then, you wanted the local people to get the first shot at the job. If they're qualified, if they can do the job, give it to them. That's why we sent them off to school. This is why we want them to come back and stabilize our community and keep it growing. Now, are you saying that we started that, we're not doing that today, or we need to do more of that today?
No, we're not doing that today. We're not doing any of it today. Every time there's a job coming open in Riviera Beach, the city council now is sending out all over the country for people to come in. And they're not giving our residents, our children, that have gone off to school to get the knowledge of it, everything. And they're not giving them an opportunity. I don't understand that. At this time now, we still have a majority on the council in Riviera Beach. And what's being done is not helping us any at all.
Are you telling me and telling the listening audience that 100 years later, and we were the top, I can tell the world that, for really fighting for our resident and the homegrown people. And I'm still doing that, and I know you are too. Am I to a emphasis on sometime during the next 10 to 11 months that we gonna highlight this and try to return to back to the glory days, and it was glory days because of we had the idea that we were going to be like what the Africans say, to take a village to rear a child, a family, and that's what you're saying. Expound on that a little more, because I think this needs to sink into the people. Charity starts where? Home. And then go abroad.
Yeah.
I think that we were taught that by Mrs. Flo Ellen when we were in school. I think I learned that either from her or Mr. Samuel McDonald in school. We have forgotten where we started from. That's what you're saying?
Yes, we have. We have forgotten it, Brother Calloway. And here lately, as I looked at it, we had a director finance department. Man coming all the way from down around Broward or Dade County, driving a city vehicle, coming all the way from down there. When I was on that city council back during the time, we didn't hire anybody that was more than 5 miles away from the city limits.
That was good.
And we looked out for the people in Palm Beach County and the city of Riviera Beach. That's not being done today. Everything that we have coming into the city of Riviera Beach right now is coming from who knows where. Cities and states from in this United States, and when we have people right here that could take care of the job. Now, like you mentioned before, we had 11 of the 13 seats directors in the city of Riviera Beach. We had city clerk, city manager, the building department, we had water and
Public works.
Even my oldest brother. My oldest brother used to be the supervisor in vehicle maintenance.
Right now
they're talking about sending the vehicle maintenance out, privatizing it.
No.
The city manager that we have in the city right now is trying to privatize everything that we got. It's a shame. I think that city council needs to get to work, think about what has happened in the past, and not try to forget about the people of Riviera Beach. And let's get back to the work that we need to get done in this city.
Well, we need to get back to that, but I'm one of those people who think that the city manager is an outstanding individual. I think that if we had to go outside, and he's up from up in the Orlando area, and not because he's of color, he's just a wonderful individual. But you got to remember now, we got 5 elected officials that he answered to, and then we got a mayor who can make suggestions, who signed all checks. I think that I wouldn't put it down on some employee who's in there because before they get there, they got to be ratified with the sitting council. I think that's the way it works. But if not, they got a lot of influence to say yay or nay to it. I think the leadership of Riviera has never been by the people they hired. It was by the people who were doing the rubber stamp in their name and say, I okay that. I think the 5 councilmen and the mayor need to do better. That just simple as that. Now, some of the councilmen are doing just fantastic. but we got to have more involvement, the council, with the city, not so much with the employees, with the citizens, and listen to the citizens. Now, you've gone over there numerous of times and tried to tell them certain things. And I think that sometime we need to go back to what got us where we are and then remind them the citizens are first. The Bible says that the more the government go get higher, the more it must go and produce more things for the citizen. You work for the citizen. Without the citizen, you are not going to have a government. The citizen comes before the government. I think that's what you're saying. I think that with the new centennial coming up and everybody is really working together, that it will be a time that citizens can go in a leisure atmosphere, like at the park or something like that, like we used to do at Goodmont Park, and we used to do at Wells and at the Callaway Complex, and where people can express themselves. See, a lot of people don't want to go to the council meeting because they think they're going to be humiliated or somebody going to say something to them. And then next thing you know, you got a police officer escorting them out of the building. But they feel comfortable in their own environment. So with five outside parks, I know we're going to have something set up for that because that's my responsibility to put all that together. But I need people like you who were there at the very beginning. We must go back and work hard to send the kids off to college, off to a trade school. What is that when you have with South Pole and Ms. McNeil here, they train the individual before they...
Construction?
What is it?
Construction.
Okay. Well, you want people from different walks of...
Building contractors.
Yeah, well, you want more than just the building. You want the electricians and
yes,
the air-conditioned people. When you go, it's like a trade. See,
trade.
You want to be the trade. See, that's what you need to do because everybody can't go to a four-year college. Everybody can't go to a two-year college, but they can be trade, get in a trade school. And we can start our own trade school. I think our director here on the show, Ann McNeil, will say it numerous of times. Sappho, you got all of them. You got the Dojas. You got so many people who are in that type of trade. And then you take Derek McCray. His daddy was teaching people something about cooking a long time ago. And Derek want to do that. I'm just calling a few people. We need to do that. And we need to get with the high schools. Our city send kids to Dwyer, Palm Beach Garden, Palm Beach Lake, Suncoast, Inlet Grove, and some go to Benjamin. We need to take kids and start them out in the 9th, 10th grade and train them for jobs. And you take the boat building, the ship, building those big yachts. They're down there training kids to go through that, and with that fiberglass and everything, they start them off at $26 an hour. That's a lot of good jobs. We must do that. We must have our elected officials to mandate that the city publicize this and go to the different schools and have those workshops. Do you think that would be the best thing?
That would be very good. That would be a great thing. That's one of the reasons that I am, and I know that you are too, trying to work with Attorney Ferguson about trying to get a high school in the city of Riviera Beach. All of our children are going somewhere else. They're sending us all over the county. We need a school in Riviera Beach so that we can keep our children home and give them the kind of education that they really need and can produce and take some of these jobs within this city if this city council sees fit to.
Well, I think what you're saying about years ago, they voted to build a new high school in Riviera, a community school, right where old Suncoast was. But when they built the new Suncoast where it is, and they took North Tech and moved it over there where old Suncoast and I's Inlet Grove, you're saying that you and I was bused back in the 50s. We never had a high school then. Now we got all these high schools. You built Dwyer, you built Palm Beach Garden, and then you build Palm Beach Lakes, and all our kids must go there and be a feeder to balance the racial count. And we still haven't gotten a community school. Suncoast, you have to qualify to go to Suncoast. Everybody can't go to Suncoast. Are you telling me you think that that would be a good step forward to bring our kids and not have them to get up 5:30, 6 o'clock in the morning like you and I and everybody who have bused for years and have that will solidify a relationship back in home when kids can go and you didn't get a chance and neither did I. I would have loved to made All-American for a school in Riviera rather than at Roosevelt like I did. I mean, of course, a lot of the people follow me, but it's not like if I would have been on a Suncoast team or John F. Kennedy team. I didn't get a chance to do that, neither did you. And then there's a lot of kids who going to Dwyer, Palm Beach Garden, Palm Beach Lakes, they would rather be from Riviera. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, they would rather be right here in Riviera Beach representing their own community instead of making numbers for somebody else's community.
But what is the answer for that? Now, I know Attorney Ferguson, who's going to be running for the school board, and I said to him, that's a good thing, you work on that. Now, that group has been getting signatures to go before the school board and ask them when will they put a school here for majority of our kids will be able to stay in the city of Riviera.
Yeah. They bought that land over there by where Inlet Grove is now, where I used to own some property over there. They bought enough land over there to extend that and make that area right over there the new school.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's where it's open.
They
that's
already
where it's designed. Yeah, over on off of J Avenue in west of Inlet Grove. Yeah, that was what it was earmarked for. Well, anyway, all that, when that time comes, it will be a time in the next few months, we will have to have that before our city fathers who's in charge and then the school board. We have to do that. Now, give me your opinion on the outlook of Riviera from your 60 years, although you are, I'd rather put it be 60 years because I'm giving you where you were 20 or more. I need it to be 20 or more. Since you were 80 years of age, I need you to give me your outlook for what you think from the last 20 years, because I don't think that you were studying enough. But I think you are expert now to tell the listening audience with the beautiful city of Riviera, one of the few cities that got their own beach. You got the waterway and you got the Western Quarter where they built up when the council was in there. They built up Congress and they built up military. I live off of military at Terrell K. And all this where I live used to be the dump. Now the growth, you got on Congress, Thousand Oaks, and that whole area there, north of Blue Heron. is developed. Once upon a time, that was never just woods going toward Lake Park, and actually was a dairy in there, Johnson Dairy. In your opinion, and I think it's the opinion, and this is greater than most because you were a building inspector and you own property now. What is your outlook with the growth? Are we landlocked? Are we going to be able to use a lot of land? And some of the places that we have need to be toned down and remodeled or built. I think, and I'll say this openly any time, that I thought that it should have toned down Stony Brook, just like you did Ivy Green, and rebuilt it. See, something was built in 1970, and it's you can't build nothing like that anymore. You need to tear that mess down and remodel it and move those people in something where they're not all on top of each other. That's why we have problems like that. It's hard to educate the masses in a place like Stony Brook because you've got them all piled up on each other. So if you were building a complex like that now, it would be different. What you say about that?
Well, that first thing is that the city of Riviera Beach Reserve annexation area has been taken. And when I was on the council, we were getting ready to annex places west of the city. And after the council that I was on left there, the other people that came in didn't even think about it, didn't do anything about it. The area out there that's called Steeplechase, that was part of Riviera Beach's reserve annexation area. And the other place out there where really where the dump is now, I can't think of the name. Iron Horse. Iron Horse was in Riviera Beach Reserve Annexation Area. We are landlocked now because the city council, after we left, did not take up that annexation. They let other communities come in and take it over. Steeplechase now is a part of Palm Beach Gardens, I believe, and Iron Horse, I think, is a part of West Palm Beach.
It is.
West Palm Beach goes all the way out to Ivy.
Yes.
Almost to where I live out here in Bay Hill Estates. West Palm Beach is all the way out to Ivy. Ivy is in West Palm Beach. And the city council people sit there and let all of that happen. Now, one of the other things that's happening in the city of Riviera Beach, a lot of the residents, even during the time when I was there, and I went before the council and tried to get them to get active and start thinking about it. Riviera Beach residents, when they get their mail says West Palm Beach. Zip code 33404, West Palm Beach. Now, what do you think happens when the government sends out money from the taxes and when the state sends out money from the taxes with them saying West Palm Beach, Riviera Beach is West Palm Beach? Who gets that money? West Palm Beach. The city of Riviera Beach council people need to get up off their seat and start making some changes. They need to go to the state or the federal government and have that change so that the citizens and the city of Riviera Beach can receive those tax dollars. Those tax dollars are going to West Palm Beach and not the city of Riviera Beach. And part of Riviera Beach out there where they just, can't think of the name of the place. What they just built is taking they're calling it Palm Beach Gardens. out there off Military Trail?
The acres. Well,
no,
the
section that's up there, you know where the fire station is north of the fire station?
Yes.
I can't think of the name of that.
In Colusa.
No, it's not all the way up there. It's south of North Lake Boulevard. It's south of North Lake Boulevard and north of Blue Heron Boulevard.
Mm-hmm. Well,
where the brothers came in to do all that building up there, and it's in Riviera Beach, but it has a Palm Beach Gardens address, and the taxes that Riviera Beach should be getting for that goes to Palm Beach Gardens.
Well, we
the
can't
city
afford
council,
to give up our tax money.
The city council people need to think about Riviera Beach and think about where our tax dollars are going.
Well, the city, when we lost Ibis, when we lost the address for the Veteran Hospital, and that's one of the things that bothered me because I'm a veteran and I go there all the time for a lot of my medication and treatment. It's in a West Palm Beach address. And that was for two reasons. Sometimes I think when they were doing that, they didn't want the big veteran hospital to be labeled Riviera because they didn't like the idea of the government that we had in Riviera. And there have been some complaints about changing that address because of everything else around the VA is Riviera, and that is Riviera. But the main thing about it is we got to get elected officials in our government to make better decisions. That just all took that. And I think that we got some people in there now. They're doing really well. I think they're doing really well, and they're on the ball. They inherit a lot of mess, and they're cleaning up that mess. I think that we're going to be, after this centennial year, because it's going to be so many activities that we are dealing with the administration and the government with the people, and the people are going to get a chance to be able to voice their opinion, and that's the most important opinion, is the people of the city, because they the ones live in these different areas, and we owe them a modicum of leadership that they don't have to worry about things. And right now we're going to have to worry about if God ever send a hurricane like Ada or something coming straight from the Bahamas, when the last one went toward Bahamas and moved to the right and came in up around Gifford and Vero Beach. We can't handle a hurricane like that because of the water, the tidal wave. Everything in Sanger's Island will be over in the lake. And then the lake going to overflow and everything on US 1 going to be over here on the track, and we're going to be inundated with water just like it was up in the Bahamas. See, when you live on the water, one day the water will die on top of you. Now, that's just all to it. Now, before we leave and I end of our program, what is one thing that you want to leave with the public? Anything you want to say? This is you. You got 5 minutes to just give us Henry Taylor, an 80-year-old man who was born and reared in Riviera. His old family. His daddy was the one who pioneered putting electricity in all the black people home way back to Deacon Dan Taylor. Head deacon at Mount Olive Missionary Baptist Church. You were born and reared in that church. Now, with this 100th year coming up in June, is anything you want to say? This is your time.
The thing that I like to say, and I think I'll just go ahead and say it, is that I think the citizens of Riviera Beach really need to think about going to some of the council meetings. We need to be more careful and more direct, and the people that we elect to serve us over on that city council. We need people that's going to look out for the people of the city of Riviera Beach and not try to take on their own agendas of what they want to do. They are supposed to be working for the people of Riviera Beach, and it's not being done most of the time. That is one thing we need to look at, and we need to look at taking care of the children of Riviera Beach. We need to have the city take a bit more of the responsibility of our young people. They don't have the activities like they used to have in the days gone by. The children don't have anything to do. The city doesn't do anything to have them like we used to have dances. The city doesn't want to do that anymore. We used to have a real good athletic program with the recreation department where we had the little Pee Wee football teams and basketball teams, baseball teams, T-ball, all that. We used to have all of that kind of stuff. And we kept the young people, the children in Riviera Beach, busy. They didn't have time to go and sit on the streets, hang out in the streets at night and all that kind of stuff. They had something to do. The city was right there for them, looking out for them and taking care of them and giving them the things that they need, which is not being done now. We need more of that in the city. And they are our future. And if it continues to go the way it's going, we won't have very much of a future for the children that's coming along now, my grandchildren, my great-grandchildren, and my great-great-grandchildren in Riviera Beach, and any of the other people that have these great children, great-grandchildren and grandchildren and all of that. We need to think more of what's happening in Riviera Beach and giving us the people of Riviera Beach the benefit of being in a great city like this is.
I agree. Well, that's well said. Before I make my comment, Ann, you want to add something?
Well, yes, sir. Actually, we have a caller whose last number is 8623, and they've had their hand up from the very beginning with a question. So if it's okay with everybody, I would like to go ahead and open their microphone, caller. The last four digits of your number is 8623. Did you have a question for Mr. Calloway or for our guest, Mr. Taylor? Caller 8623, if you can introduce yourself, please. Okay. If you're talking, you might be on mute. Caller, last four digits, 8623. Okay. All right. I guess they waited. They waited a while, and they may have.
Did they say what they want to ask the question about?
No, they just see on the radio for all of our callers. If you have a question, just press 1 on your phone, and you can have a question. You can raise your hand, ask a question. So they raised their hand when the show first started. But as the two of you were talking, we could interrupt to let them know to find out what their question was. So we just opened their microphone, but they're not saying anything. So
if they come right before we end, just let them cut right in. I'm
okay.
Sorry that we didn't. We like to always give the all of folks. I remember about a month and a half ago, somebody called from South Gary, Indiana, asking a question.
Right. So we do have another question, Mr. Calloway. And then the person that's what this is 1381. Your microphone is open. Good afternoon. You can introduce yourself. You had a question.
Greetings. My name is Elena Porter, and I'm calling from Georgia, and I have been listening to the show. I got in, a few minutes ago, and I just want to let you all know that I have really learned a lot about the what you all are doing in your fight. And the question that I have for you is, have you all considered having that, having the city council or the mayor do a human rights charter specifically for the black residents of that area or Aboriginal, because we do have two camps of that area, and put that property in a trust and also get some type of control over the budget specifically for that area and set up some type of trust or treasury specifically for the people of that area?
Well, I need to ask a question. I'm Dan Calloway, and I'm impressed with you calling in to tell us that, because of no one have thought of that. And
yes,
that's
sir.
My because of, I'm 83 and was born and reared here. And
yes,
for the centennial, I'm the spokesperson, and my last act is to put all these committees. I just need some kind of, if you could get something that you can get us in writing, what
yes,
you just
sir.
Meant, and we'll put that together, because this is what we need.
Yes,
is it
sir.
Any way that you can talk to the director of this program? Dan
yes,
McNeil,
sir. Yes, sir.
And send
yes,
that?
Sir.
And what part
yes,
of,
sir.
Of y'all do you live in?
Well, let me give you a little background of myself. My name is Elena Porter. I am a human rights specialist. I have an extensive background in international and human rights law. I'm part of an organization that declared our right to self-determination in 2017. We asserted our international rights in 2018, and in 2020, we declared national liberation status. So we do have international rights that can be asserted. Now, with concern about the area which you're referring to, and you've already established a council for that area. Now, I'm not very aware of what you have been doing, but I want to put the international and human rights perspective on. According to international and human rights law, you have a right to control that area, specifically for the people in that area. You have human rights. So if there was a human rights charter, say like the mayor of that area did a proclamation, an ordinance, or a charter that gives you a special status to exercise self-determination, that means you all control that area, you control the tax base, and you control the budget in that area.
Beautiful.
Okay?
Well,
you have an international right to that.
Okay.
Okay, let me do this. I have your number, Ms. Porter, and this is Ann McNeil. I will follow up with you at your number. I have your number. I'm not going to call it out. I do see it here. Last four digits is 1381.
Yes,
so what
yes,
what we're going to do is, right, I'll follow up with you off the radio, and then we will get with you to get that information. We are so appreciative of your calling in and sharing that. And then, Mr. Calloway, I'm very thankful that you were able to have her give her comments.
Well, I'm saying, I don't want to cut you off, but when you get that, I want to say this to Mrs. Porter. The reason why I asked you where you live in Atlanta, I mean in Georgia, would it be best to send someone to your office from Riviera to get all the important things of this? Because this is really fantastic. Would it be better for us to fly you or whomever from the national thing down here to Riviera?
Yes. Well, what I do is I have a institute. My institute is called the Pendo Center for Human Rights and Self-Determination, located here in Georgia. And what I do, if I do any speaking engagements, I do charge for that. But if there's legal issues, immediate legal issues involved, we can work around things online. But I'm a person who I'm transparent, and I have to do like pull certain documents and look at the issues that you have at hand to determine what you need immediately. Because, see, as an Afro descendant or either an indigenous, we are indigenous to the United States. That means we have a pre-existing presence before the United States is constituted. So we have special rights to control our own area. And we have special rights to control our budget. And see, we have not been treated like the Native Americans. So if we get pushback, then we can file different communications and petitions within what you call the Inter-American Commission to sue for that budget, to sue for those tax dollars that were taken and misappropriated. Now, what has been happening to us all over the United States, and this is based on our research and our findings from the Institute, they have used selective annexing and underbounding to take our resources and to take our land through eminent domain, those urban renewals, those slum, you know, those slum ordinances that they had back in the day. They use all of those things to take our property. Domestically, they haven't remedied anything, but we have international rights that supersede these domestic rights, what we can assert to get the proper control that we need on the local level if that municipality do not agree to put a certain proclamation or a certain charter in place that recognizes, A, the people of that area's right to self-determination and right to self-govern that area, to control that budget, and to put that land in a trust, because we have a big issue with these developers that comes in, okay? They come in, they make us basically squatters on our own land. There's one issue I've found out. There's certain international developers that come in on some of the Gullah Geechee property, okay, and got them making baskets basically and doing tourism for these developers when they should be controlling that. We can't have that. So the way around that is to assert those human rights.
Well, let me do this here. Off the air, our director of this program, who is I'm an assistant, she will get your information, and we will make her, she'll put it in my hand, and I'll give you a call, because it may be the best thing for we to have you come down and make a presentation to us.
Yes, yes, and I don't mind flying there doing it.
Well, you put in there what is your honorarium, and we'll look at both sides. What's the best to me to get like Doug Lawson, who's one of our main people on the council. He would be would be well with this, and send two or three other people to you. Have you to come down in to meet with Doug Lawson and Dr. Botel and the mayor and some of us, except you, because of, we need your advice.
Yes, sir. I will come and do a presentation for you, and I won't charge that much, no more than room and support, and, you know, just basically to get there back and have a place to stay, but I would dedicate my research, my time, my background, and my knowledge to helping you all come up with a solution that will last for generations to come, where they can't come in and just take that property, where they can no longer control that budget. That budget.
And we'll get more money for our citizens. The point is, have you ever been to Palm Beach County?
No, sir, I have not.
Okay. Well, then it may be good if we send for you. And we'll take care of you down here. You will see the real people.
I'll definitely come.
Well, you get with Ms. McNeil and get your stuff there together. And I will get with the city manager on Sunday. Next Sunday, he's speaking at the church. And I will introduce him and be presiding, and all of us will be there. That's Government Day.
And I really
would love to announce for next Sunday that we will be sending for, what's your first name?
My first name is Elena Porter.
Elena Porter. I want to, from the great state of Georgia, coming down
here. Yes, sir.
Because I'm already impressed with with the election of the, what's the lady name that was put together everything after she didn't
her name,
win the government?
Oh, man, I forget. I forget what her name is, but yes, sir.
Oh, no. And then the guy who's at Ebenezer Church, the pastor who's also elected. No, you all on the ball. Come up to date on that.
Yes, sir.
But
yes,
no,
sir.
If you can make the trip down here, we'll cover your expenses and give you an honorary. Now,
yes,
and,
sir.
And,
well,
and
I will definitely be there. But I do want us to talk after the show so I can know what it is that you want to do. And I can get some background, and I know how to do research. And I want to actually, I really want to do a full presentation that offers a solution. And I'm just based on what I heard you all today say, I think for your area, what we need is a human rights charter that protects those people's rights, land rights, property rights, cultural and biological rights, and the right to self-determination. That's what's going to stop the theft on the local level.
Well, I need to take account of Riviera, their minorities. Black.
Yes, sir.
Forget about the Cubans and everybody else they throw in there, of black people in Riviera.
Well, that's who would be for, the foundational Afro-descendants in that area.
Well, and you see right next door to us, the Native Americans or the Indians, whatever you want to call them, they are doing well. Some of them I grew up with because of the casinos, but there was anything done for black people,
well,
and we're like the indigenous people.
Yes, sir, and let me tell you this, before I get off the air, we're going to have an opportunity to really talk, and I'm going to throw this at you. Everybody think the basis of reparations is going to be for them making our ancestors pick cotton for free out in those cotton fields. No,
uh-huh.
That's not the issue. The basis for reparations in this day and time for U.S. foundational U.S. Afro descendants, I'm talking about us who were born, bred, and who's been here, is the fact that after 1865, they were supposed to have taken, they violated our rights by annexing our entire population without our consent. There was no plebiscite vote. As a matter of fact, General Sherman gave our ancestors land and asked our ancestors what they wanted to do. They told them they wanted to govern themselves, okay? We were supposed to have been treated like the Native Americans. As a matter of fact, we did have some of the same protections as the Native Americans. But all of those things were rescinded when Abraham Lincoln was murdered because they needed our human capital, our labor, our wealth and our resources, what little bit we had, they needed our things, especially our human capital and labor. That's why they put that 13th Amendment back on the table and made us slaves, okay? The fact that we were supposed to have been treated like the Native Americans as a dependent nation, and they circumvented our human rights, international rights, even at that time, that lays the basis of reparations, because the fact that they annexed our entire population without our consent, they absorbed our human capital, our wealth, our land, our resources, and misappropriated by giving it to those other groups. So right now they're practicing apartheid, and that lays the basis of reparations for us. We can also look at that model for this particular area.
Beautiful.
How much of the budget, we can look at the budget over the years. How much of the budget have you used for other people? And we didn't get none of it. We can go back and sue them for that if they don't do what we asked to do.
I do. Let me go back and say this here. You can call me. Ann will give you my. But you give all the information to Ann, and one of the things we will do, we got to do something in June. I have not put it together, but that's going to be our biggest month. The moment they made it a national holiday, Juneteenth, we're going to celebrate that big time. And
yes, sir.
There's some different things. And then we have a, I don't know, in Black History Month, normally we have this big banquet. I haven't settled on the, that'll be my charge to settle who's going to be the
yes.
guest speaker. But
yes,
I need to come here and explain that to our city manager and our council and other leaders. And then
yes,
we'll
sir.
Make a decision where we're going. Because right now we
yes,
don't know
sir.
Anything. We need
yes,
somebody
sir.
With your expertise to be here.
Yes, sir.
So
yes, sir.
If
yes, sir.
Can, and we'll go from there. And she'll give you my number, and I can talk. You can call me anytime and talk over
yes,
time.
And what is your name? Is your name my, Mr. Calloway?
That's it, Dan Calloway.
Okay. Okay, Mr. Calloway. You know I'm some kin to some Calloway. That's what my grandfather's last name was, Calloway. So it may be a connection there. I don't know. But
well,
I promise you I will help you all in any way that I can. Also, I've been instrumental. I'm helping some people in Detroit with the same issues. You know, all over the country, we are being dispossessed of our property and our property rights and our land rights. And you
well,
all are ground zero, and
well,
I will definitely help you.
Well, we got eight to ten guys, and Henry Taylor, the other one's on the program here, he's big
yes.
into that. I just need to get you here, and I'll
yes,
get
sir.
You the audience. And you get the information, and you will be talking. Within 2 or 3 weeks, because I know after Sunday I'll be talking to the city manager, one, about this.
Yes, sir. Yes,
and
sir.
I'll set up a meeting with Councilman Doug Lawson, one, two.
Yes, sir.
And Dr.
Yes,
Botel,
sir.
Three.
Yes, sir.
I can put in there, guarantee you a trip down here.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And oh. like I said, and you all are in Florida, correct? You're in Florida.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir.
Palm Beach
so,
County. We're the neighbors of West
yes,
Palm Beach.
Yes, sir. So I can definitely get there, and I'll definitely get the time off from work once we come up with the dates and everything. I will definitely get the time off the work to go. I do work a full-time job, and I'm a grandmother, but I'm dedicated to this because this is going to benefit our generations to come, and this is the
yeah.
route that we have to go. So
okay.
I'm here for you, and I'm here with you, and you have my dedication to what it is that you need me to do legally for you. You have
well,
my
let me
you have
it,
my promise.
Get the information to Ann, and give us a few days, and then therefore, with your number, I'll be able to call you.
Yes, sir.
And then
yes, sir. And
when
yes,
I
sir.
Set up a meeting with the power to be that we got to have this, that's done. I can pretty much tell you that's a done deal.
Yes,
we'll
sir.
Work it
yes,
out.
Sir.
I think
yes,
it would be better to give you a little vacation and get you down here rather than bring three or four people up there to you.
Okay,
yes,
I just have
yes,
to
sir.
Interject. We have run out of time for the show.
Okay.
The show has already ended. I have to apologize because it's been over an hour. We said
that's okay. That's
hour,
okay.
So I apologize.
Okay. That's
so,
okay, my friend.
Thank you.
That's okay.
No problem. No problem. So I'll communicate with you off the show. We want to thank everybody. Mr. Taylor, it was a pleasure listening to your story, and we really appreciate Dan Calloway and Ms. Porter. Thank you so very much for calling in. And we will remind everybody that you have been listening to hashtag I am Riviera Beach, hashtag Riviera Beach Pride. And we look forward to seeing everybody back here next Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern Time, same place, same time on hashtag I am Riviera Beach. And everybody have a good day. All right. Thank you.
You too.
All right. Bye-bye.